Happy Mother's Day. This is a really tough thing for me to do here, is to stand here Mother's Day morning and to be able to preach and share God's word with his people. Forgive me. It's been an emotional time for me, because for so many years, I tried to get out of this service. And here I am, preaching at this service. And the reason why I tried to get out of this service and not make it to this service is because of my condition. Because for those of you that don't know, my wife and I weren't able to have kids for 15 years. So today has always been an emotional day. I want to be real with you this morning. Life isn't perfect. We have areas in our life that we struggle with. We have areas in our life that we have a hard time with. Some of you with a loss of a mother. I don't know your current situation, but Mother's Day always brings up a lot of emotion. And Dream, our heart is with you. She just lost her mother. My prayers are with you. But this morning, I can stand here emotional, but I can stand here with joy. Not just because of what God has done, but because who he is. And I still remember those words that my wife had said to God in her prayers. With or without children, I will always serve you. With or without a mother, I will always serve you. Whatever my circumstances may be, I will always serve you. Let's bow our heads in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for giving us life, oh God. But most of all, we want to thank you for our mothers. We want to thank you for equipping them to be able to lead families, to be able to comfort children, to be able, oh God, to provide. And I pray for everyone right now, oh God, that your hand, oh Lord, would be upon us. That you would bring comfort, that you would bring joy. But most of all, oh Lord, I pray that you may bring peace and love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I looked at the schedule, the preaching schedule, and I was like, I think they made a typo. They put me on for Mother's Day. And it wasn't a typo. So I got really nervous. Really, really nervous. But I, with every single one of my preachings, my wife knows I go through so much. And same thing with this one. I had to get a hold of God and said, Lord, let it not be my words, let it be your words. Lord, I want you to speak to me so that I could be able to speak to your people. So this morning, my focus is not only on mothers. God has given me a word for his church. So this morning, I want to be speaking to every single one of you here. Don't matter if you're 5 years old or 105 years old, I want to be speaking to every single person here this morning. And thank you so much for making it. I know there's a lot going on. A lot of people have gatherings to be getting ready for. But most of all, what we need to get ready for is heaven. And man, so it's awesome that you're here this morning. Thank you. Announcement before we go into the Word of God. Pentecost Sunday is next Sunday. So all next week, we will be praying every single day here at the church, 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't see too many smiles. Everybody's like, well, 6 o'clock in the morning. Yes, 6 o'clock in the morning. We will be praying here at the church. So make it out on Tuesday night during our Spanish service. We'll be having a night prayer. And then on Wednesday night, during our English service, we'll be having a night prayer also. But for the whole week of next week, we will be having prayer for Pentecost Sunday. Don't forget to invite someone. Invite your family, invite your friends, your coworkers. Invite someone to Pentecost Sunday next week. Amen? Let's all stand for the reading of the Word. Today's scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Most of you already know it by heart, but for those that don't, you can go ahead and open up your Bible. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. And you're like, what scripture is that? When I start reading it, you're going to be like, oh, that scripture. Starting with verse 4, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. And it reads, love is patient, love is kind, it is not envy, it is not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. We're talking about love here. It is not easily angered. Oh boy. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with what? Rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. You may be seated. Love never fails. This morning, as you were getting ready, I don't know how many patient, kind, loving mothers we had here in your homes this morning getting ready. Or fathers, or children. I don't know how many of you were showing love. It was so funny. My wife had shown me a post. It was this picture of, I don't know, you guys have probably seen it. Is a dinosaur, the one from Toy Story. You know, that little dinosaur guy? And that was when you wake up in the morning, you know, all happy and stuff. And then the next picture over was, you know, after trying to get your kids up and ready for school, it showed like a T-Rex, just like, you know, ready to bite somebody's head off. I don't know if that was your morning when you woke up, you're like, yes, it's Mother's Day. And then 20 minutes later, you're like, get ready right now or I'm going to spank you. And then you're talking to your husband, huh? No. But happy Mother's Day. I know none of that happened this morning. I know you guys were just waking up so full of joy and love. I mean, it was just flowing out of you. Husbands, I know you opened the door for your wife this morning in the car. I know you already got them their flowers and gifts and chocolates. And I know all your men, I know you already did that already. It got really quiet. If you haven't, you still have some time to do it. When you leave service this morning, open up the car door for your spouse. Children, open up the car door for your parents. Somebody, show some love. Can you show some love? And if you want to go, men, if you want to go the extra mile for your spouse, open up her car door and then put her seatbelt on. Now that is going the extra mile. And just let her know, I want you safe. I want you safe. I don't want nothing to happen to you. Don't do that. That's awkward. That is awkward. But this morning I want to speak to everyone on love. So let's go back to this scripture here, starting with verse 4. And I want us to be able to take this scripture and I want us to be able to kind of dissect it and really get into it, because a lot of times we can read scriptures and just read them just to get it over with. But God is telling us something here in these scriptures. God is revealing something to us in the scriptures, something that not only we need to read and get into our minds, but something that we need to get into our hearts. So let's dissect this. Number 4, verse 4, it says, love is patience. Now we can have a whole preaching just on this. Love is patience. How patient are you with your family? How patient are you with your family? I want you to think about that right now. Your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. How patient are you with your family? I'm speaking to everybody this morning. Let me be honest with you. We can be more patient with complete strangers we don't even know, we've never met. We can be more patient with them than what we are with our own family, our loved ones. We can. Young people, how patient are you with your brothers and sisters? Everybody's like, why did I show up this morning? Why did I come to church? How patient are you? Let me tell you something. Being patient is a choice that you make. You made a choice to be patient with people you don't even know, you never even met, but you made a choice not to be patient with your loved ones. It's not rocket science. It isn't. We make that choice up in our minds how we are going to love. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 reads, be completely humble and gentle. We're reading the Word. This is what the Word has for us. Be completely humble and gentle. How many humble and gentle people do we have here this morning? Be patient, bearing with one another in love. But we're quick to react. We're quick to be like, no, you just get on my nerves. You did me wrong too many times. I don't like the way you look at me. I don't like the way your tone is with me. I don't like the way you walked in front of me. I don't even like the way you breathe. We've all been there. Hey, I want you to look around right now to the people that are in here. I want you to see all the people that have issues in their life. Yeah, turn around and tell them, you got issues. Husbands, I give you permission. Wives, I give you permission. Turn around and tell them, you got issues. You got issues. Hold it. You can stop now. You don't have to keep on going. Okay, that's all you were supposed to say. You weren't supposed to keep on going and keep on going. Now you need to turn around to that same person and say, I got issues. I got issues. Now what? Nobody wants to turn around now? I mean, I have issues in my life. We all do. Every single one of us. But the scripture in Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. How many of us want to be like Christ? Do we want to be like Christ? He has left us the example to follow. We want to be like Christ, so we need to be completely humble and gentle. We need to be patient, bearing one another in love. Loving one another. Love is what? Love is patient. How many patient people do we have here? One person. Dude. I think I'm going to stay here all morning. How many patient people do we have here that want to work at it? So, okay, all four of you. All right. Let's go on. So it says the scripture started with love is patient, but also there's something else here in the scripture that reads. It says love is kind. Oh boy. Is he really going there? Yes, I am going there. The people closest to you don't always deserve your kindness. Maybe they have not been kind to you. Right? Before I go any further with this topic, let's get into some more scripture because I have quite a bit to say here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness. Yeah, you guys can take some notes. You guys, you know, go ahead and write these scriptures down. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. This is Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Instead, verse 32, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So we need to get rid of bitterness. We need to get rid of rage. We need to get rid of anger. We need to get rid of harsh words, slander, evil behavior. Can I ask you a question? If you were next to someone, say you're just walking down the street, and someone just so happens to fall, and they get hurt, like, I mean, really get hurt. They don't just fall, and like, you know, a lot of us, when we fall, we get back up, and then we look around and see if anybody's seen us. Like, no, but, I mean, we fall, that person falls and gets hurt. Would you help them? Would you? That would be natural. You just go in there and you help them out. Right? Or would you go up to them and says, well, do you deserve my help? Let me see. What have you done for me? Have you been there for me? Have you been nice to me? Have you been kind to me? Do you deserve my help? And yet we have loved ones that are hurting. And we don't want to help. Why? Because of what they said to us. Because what they did to us. How they looked at us. How, you know, and we start wanting to help people according to what they have done for us. But yet you would help a complete stranger that you do not know that fast. You will jump at the rescue. Oh, are you all right? Let me help you. But the ones that we so love, the ones that are closest to us, we start evaluating. We start looking like, oh, okay, but you know what? He or she has never done that for me. Why should I do that for them? That stranger never did anything for you, but you were quick to help them out. Love is kind. Do you deserve my help? That's a society today. They feel like they deserve everything themselves and no one else deserves nothing. But no, God has called us to just help them. The stranger, the wife, the husband, the family member, the cousin, the son, the daughter, the uncle, the aunt, the niece, the nephew. God has called us to help. You give people what they need, not what they deserve. We need to. Why? Because God has done that for us. He doesn't give you what you deserve. Because if he gave us what we deserve, oh boy, we would be in big trouble. We would. But he gives us what we need, and we need love. Amen. When you are merciful, you give kindness, even when people are rude and mean to you. You feel like you have an excuse to be mean and rude to people because they are rude and mean to you? That's not an excuse. They beat Jesus. They whooped Jesus. And he, what did he say? Forgive them. He left us that example of how we should live our lives. We should live a loving life, full of mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 reads, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown what? They will be shown mercy." If you are merciful, you will be shown mercy in your own life. Now, in this 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, we're going to go a little bit more deeper into this. We're going to go into the things what love is not. And it reads, after it says love is patient, love is kind, then we're going to go into the not. It does not envy. It does not boast, and is not proud. Love is not envious, it does not boast, and is not proud. To envy is to put self first, number one. Oh, that feels so good, just quietness. But a lot of times, that's what we want to do. We want to put ourselves first. We do. Our own thoughts, our own likes, our own wants, we want to put that first. But what we need to do is we need to put others first. We need to be servants, just like Christ was a servant to all men. We need to serve. And then the next part of the scripture says, it does not boast. Well, if people that boast are usually proud people. And I'm not talking about proud in, you know, a good way. I'm talking about proud in an arrogant way. How many of you love to be around proud people? Does that make you feel good? Like, oh man, I just want to hang out with you some more. I mean, they're just like, oh, you should have seen what I did. And if it wasn't for me, and you know, I'm like number one. And oh man, you're like, I gotta go now. Love is not proud. Be humble. Be humble, church. We need to learn the art of being humble. It also, and according to the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, it says, it does not dishonor others. It does not dishonor others. So why do we dishonor others? Why do we dishonor the people that are around us? Why? Because we think we are right. We are right in our words. We are right in our actions. And that's why we dishonor. Amen? It's getting a little real here this morning. Do you remember the scripture where it talks about the Pharisees and the leaders of the law brought this woman to Jesus? There's a crowd of people, the Pharisees and the leaders of the law. They brought this woman to Jesus that had committed adultery. Well, when they bring this woman to Jesus, they tell Jesus, well, according to the law of Moses, she should be stoned for what she has done. And what did Jesus say? Whoever has no sin, cast the first stone. So guess what happens? So we have a crowd of people here ready to stone her for what she has done. And Jesus says, whoever has no sin here, cast the first stone. She did wrong. She did. Guess what starts happening to the crowd, the big crowd? One by one, they leave. By the time you know it, there's no one there but Jesus. And Jesus asked her, where are your accusers? There's no one. And what does Jesus tell her? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. But yet people have done you wrong. And we want to stone them to death. People have talked about you, and you want to stone them. You want to kill them. You want to hurt them. People have done you wrong, and really quick, you just want to grab this stone, swing it at them. It's sad to say, but so many people have been killed by the stones that we have thrown at people. So many loved ones have been hurt by stones that have been thrown at them. Maybe you have been hit by one of these stones. Maybe you're the one throwing the stone. We're all sinful. We've all made mistakes. Not one of us here this morning is perfect. Not one. So don't compare yourself to anyone. Don't expect for someone to be perfect to you when you are not perfect to anyone. This world that we are living in wants to always just grab the stone and just start going at it. They don't know your story. They just want to throw it. Does anybody want to pick up this stone and throw it at someone? For some of you right now, you're like, oh, that sounds pretty good. It's right there. Any of you that are without sin, come please pick this up and throw it at your accuser. Throw it at the one that's done you wrong. It's right here. Any of you without sin, come and pick up the stone and have at it. It's impossible. Impossible. Happy Mother's Day. The reason why I bring this out is because Mother's Day is not just one day. According to my wife, she says it's like year long. I don't get it. Father's Day only lasts for a couple hours, and then Mother's Day is like all year long. It doesn't make any sense, but okay. The reason why I bring this out is because if we were just to be able to show love, happy Mother's Day. Every single day can be Mother's Day. If every single day we showed love. Every single day can be Father's Day if we continually every day to show love. Every day could be Kids' Day. Oh, man. If we just show love. Man, it is so simple, but yet so hard. Our emotions want to get the best of us. Our frustration wants to get the best of us. Our mind, our heart. The heart of man is wicked. Don't trust the heart, because the heart would be like, you know what, just slap the heck out of them. The heart of man would be like, especially if, you know, the heart of man changes when you're on that freeway and you're on that road. I mean, I don't know what it is, but something happens when you drive. I mean, it's like the devil controls the car or something, or I don't understand. Is it just me or what? But I have found myself when I'm driving to be a different person. I don't understand it. And my wife always has to be like, it's all right, calm down. You know, but I'm like, the speed limit's 65. Why aren't they going 80? Come on, what's wrong with you guys? And it's like, you're in the fast lane. They're only going 65. You know better than that. but it's the natural man in us and woman in us to be able to get bothered so easily. You know what? We're Christians. We love Jesus Christ. And people say, oh no, all that forgiving and loving and being kind, that's a sign of being soft. Oh man, is it? You know how hard it is to control your temper? Do you know how hard it is to say something that, I mean, really quick, that comes into your mind and you just want to let it out? You know how hard it is to keep that in? Being soft is just letting your mouth run. That's being soft because you can't control. Being soft is to be able to just let your anger come out and do things that you shouldn't be doing. That's being soft. We are not soft Christians. It's tough. It's hard to do the right thing. It is tough to control the carnal man. So not at all are we soft, but we are strong in Christ. So don't let anyone ever tell you that you are soft because you love and that you're kind and you just... No, you don't do that to them. You are not soft. Let's continue with the scripture here. So in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it also says, love is not easily angered. I'm still reading scripture. This is not my own words. This is the scripture here. Love is not easily angered. Can I ask a question? How many perfect marriages do we have here today? Can I see a show of hands? How many perfect marriages do we have here this morning? YouTube land, you could raise your hand over there in your own homes. How many perfect marriages do we have here this morning? Zero. None. Why? Why don't we have perfect marriages here? It's a good question. Because we have two imperfect people coming together. So it's impossible to have a perfect marriage. You can have a great marriage. You can. But you're going to need something. You want to know what that is? For those of you that are married, oh man, this is the good stuff here. How can you have a great marriage? Oh man, give me the insight. I'm only going to charge you $5.99 for this, okay? Okay, that's it, just $5.99. In order to have a great marriage, you need to be a great forgiver. In order for you to have a great marriage, you need to be a great forgiver. Because there's been those times in our homes where we get ruffled the wrong way. And what do you do at those times? How do you react at those times? My wife and I, we always argue. It's the truth. And we had to, just recently, there was this time that we, my wife's like, be quiet. But there's this time that, I mean, I'm like, should I even say it? But we got in an argument, okay? we got in an argument, and I mean, we're upset. We are upset, and you know, okay, so somebody walks off, somebody ignores the other one, and you know, you guys know the drill. You know that. But then there's that time that you make up, right? Man, you guys are just like, huh? Like, what's going on here? There's a time that you make up. The thing is that if we were quicker to make up than to continue with our frustration, our anger, our bitterness heart, if we were quicker to make up by how? Let me serve you. Can I get this for you? Can I get that for you? Especially when you're upset and you can, if you were to go up to your spouse and say, can I cook for you? Can I get you something to drink? Can I give you a massage? And in the middle of your heated arguments, try it. See what happens. But we feel entitled. We feel like, oh no, I deserve, I need, I want. This is all about me. No. Jesus was a servant. Jesus served. Why? Because he loved and he didn't put himself above anyone else. People were important to him. Your family is important to you. Your loved ones is important to you. Put people first. First Thessalonians 5:15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Just keep on with this scripture. It also reads, love, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Do you remember when you did? Do you remember when you said? Do you remember 10 years ago when you this and that, 5 years ago? I mean, some people are really good at bringing up the past. And you just can't let that go. And you continually bring up the past. How many of you here this morning sin? When you come to God and you ask God to forgive you and wash you and cleanse you, what does he do? He forgives, he loves, and guess what he does with your sin? He casts them to where? The sea of forgetfulness. Why? Because he loves you. Brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, for any of you that are in here this morning, do not, I repeat, do not keep a record of wrongs of people in your life. But you don't know what he did. You don't know what she did. I don't need to know. And you don't need to know. You need to love and you need to forgive. Not that everything's okay that you do to someone. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, if you want to grow, if you want a blessed life, if you want to love, we need to let go of some things. We do. We need to let go of things in our life. Past hurts, past failures, past pain. We need to let it go. It'll drag you down. You will live a miserable life holding on to the past. You don't see people the same anymore because you're holding on to the past. You don't live life the same anymore because you're holding on to the past. You can't surrender yourself because you're holding on to the past. And God is saying, surrender it all to me. Just like I have forgiven you, forgive others. Love others. If you don't start letting go of these things in your life, if you don't start deleting some of those things in your mind, you will start to hate what people do. Everywhere you look, there'll be this hate for what people do. And from this hate that people do, it grows, and then it becomes to the point where you just hate people. Don't want to be around anyone. Can't stand men. Can't stand women. Can't stand children. And now you live this life with hatred towards people. Why? Because of some past issues in your life that you weren't able to let go. Why do you think people follow Jesus? A good question, right? Why do you think people follow him? You think people follow him because he holds on to all this stuff that you guys did and gives you a good whooping? No. People follow Jesus because of his love, his kindness, his mercy. We need to do the same. Amen? And verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it reads, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Some of you like to get into that good stuff, huh? That gossip. It delights in the evil. I was like, oh, what happened? Tell me some more. You serious? She did that, and he did that, and she said this, and she said that. It kind of like awakens up when we hear something. It's like, oh, tell me more. Delight in the evil. Some of us, our ears perk up whenever we hear those things. Some of us want to hear more gossip than the gospel. Happy Mother's Day. We need to get into the Word of God, church. We definitely need to get into the Word of God like never before. I'm telling you, this world is like, it's turned upside down already. And people rather talk about each other than uplift one another. People rather put people down to lift people up. That's the world we live in. You get on social media and people are just talking so much stuff about each other, it's unreal. Not even in social media, even in person. You can't even go anywhere without somebody saying something to you or looking at you funny and like, what's your problem? I mean, it's just all over the place. All over the place. Even when we go into our own homes, we hear it. Oh. But can I tell you something? That's not why God has called us. God has not called us to be evildoers and to continually pour out this. How can I say it? It's like a disease of hatred and bitterness and anger. The disease that gets a hold of you. But he wants us to be able to be healed and to be able to give love. We don't make a difference in people's lives by judging them. We don't. We make a difference in people's lives by loving them, not by judging them. Remember, you make mistakes too. You do. But we need to love, not judge. How many of us are trusting God in our marriages, in our families, in our homes? How many of us are really trusting God in that? You know how you can tell if you're trusting God in your marriage? You know how you can tell if you're trusting God in your family, in your kids? You know how to tell if you're trusting God? You can tell if you are trusting God by how much you pray for your spouse, how much you pray for your children. You can tell how much you're trusting God. Because when there's a trust in God, you will pray for your spouse. Because you are placing them in God's hand, and you're trusting that His love will be upon them, His protection will be upon them, His Spirit will be upon them. You're trusting, and that's why you're giving it to God, and that's why you're praying to God for His hand to be upon them. Your children, you're praying a hedge of protection around them. You're praying God's love upon them. And when you pray that, you're loving them. When you pray that, you are taking them and trusting that God will supply their needs. How can you tell that you are trusting God for your family by how much you pray for them? I want to bring it down to parents right now, real quick. It's a tough job to be a father and a mother. It is. It's a really tough job. It's scary at the same time because we all want our children to turn out great. We do. It's the honest truth. We want our children to be great people that love God. We want that. So it's a little scary here. But can I tell you something? It's not about you being on them all the time. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. Just constantly just bombarding them and I got to be like this because I got to train them up, which the Bible does say train up a child. But when it talks about that, it talks about train up a child. But a lot of times we focus just on the, come on, get it through your head. Am I the only one? With our children, we just sometimes just unload with them. And then we sit down, we tell them, because we want you to be better than me. We want you to learn. We want you to grow. But can I be honest with you? I'm about to finish up, praise team. You can get ready. But can I be honest with you? Your children, you know what they need more of? They need more love than anything else. When was the last time you hugged your kids? When was the last time you kissed your kids? When was the last time you talked to your kids? When was the last time you spent some time with your kids? Anybody have a phone? A phone? I'm not going to go through it. Right here. You're like, well, no, I have a phone, but I ain't giving it to you. Happy Mother's Day. Because this is what, in today's society, what a mother is. Happy Mother's Day. And instead of being a mother, here, look at this all day. Just give me my time. Just get preoccupied with something else. Why are my kids acting like this? Why are they talking like this? Well, because their mother t- teaches them. Because their mother shows them how to live life. Their mother is always there for them. Lord, let it not be here this morning. Church, your kids need your love. I don't care how old they are. They could be old like me, but your kids need your love. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not. Your kids are not guaranteed tomorrow. Your spouse is not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not. If you want to make a difference today. If you want to make a difference in people's lives, do it today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't do it. Because once they're gone, there's going to be that, I wish I could have. I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have done this. I just wish I had another day, another hour, another 5 minutes. I wish. Today is your day. And I'm not just talking about being there for your mother. No, I am talking about being there for your husband, for your wife, for your uncle, for your aunt, for your brother, for your sister, for your nieces, for your nephews. I'm talking about being there for people. But we get so focused on just a certain person when God has called us to love everyone. Let's all stand. I have a scripture that I want to read in the closing. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I have everything that I could possibly want, but without love, I have nothing. Church, God has called us to love like never before. To love people beyond their attitudes, to love people beyond their emotions, beyond their facial expressions, beyond what they've said to you or did to you, to love people beyond all that. To look past hurts, to look past those times in life when you've been let down, but to love, to give of yourself, to surrender yourself. Why? Because Christ has first loved us. And so in return, we love everyone around us. This is not an easy thing to do. Most of us, when we leave this morning, and we get into our homes and we get into our places that we're going to be going to, you're going to be ruffled the wrong way. Your buttons are going to be pushed. What do you do at that time? What do you do when the house is a mess? The kids are running around, they're not listening, the husband just relaxing. What do you do? You love. You love. It's hard, but you love. Question for you. How many here this morning would love to be loved? I know I do. Can you be that love agent for someone else? Can you love the people around you? Look around to your neighbor. Can you love your neighbor as you love yourself? My kids, they always get into arguments with each other. I mean, they're always like at it, just like, all the time. I'm like, man. Yeah, I've done this to them many a times when they're arguing with each other and getting mad at each other. I tell them, give them a hug. And they're like, really? And then they do this. I'm like, what is that? Is that a hug? And so they're like, okay, that you, like, it's like I'm telling them to do something wrong or something. And so they end up giving each other a hug. But what really throws them off, this is what really throws them off, is when I say, okay, now give them a kiss. I tell them, give them a kiss. And they look at me like, you crazy. I'm not kissing my brother. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Give him a kiss on the cheek. And then I have those times that I sit down with him and I ask him serious questions like, if your brother wasn't here today, would you be sad? And then their eyes start getting all watery. And they're like, well, of course I would be sad. If your sister wasn't here today, would you be sad? And they start, yeah, I'll be sad. Make a difference today. Make a difference today. This altar is open for only those, that know, hey, I need more love. I need to show more love. Why do we come to this altar and lift up our hands? Is God has loved us. And when we receive God's love in us, it is easier to be able to express that love. So I invite you, receive the love of Christ in your life so that you can be able to share that love with someone else.